This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Partido podcast, the English-speaking podcast about all things Atleti. And here we are again, reviewing another season. It's not been the greatest season for Atletico Madrid, but it sure has been eventful. And here discussing it with me is Sam. Thanks for coming, Sam.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Welcome back to the podcast, and always a pleasure having you on with us. Emmanuel should be in a few minutes, so we'll start straight away. Starting with the final game of the season, Atletico went to Anoeta, played La Real, and managed to clinch the win. And it sure was nervy at the end, conceding late, but goals from Rodrigo de Paul and Angel Correa were enough for the 3 points and to secure the third place for Atletico Madrid. Sam, can you please give us your thoughts about that game?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a game of two halves. The first half, Real Sociedad were by far the better team. No shots on target from Atletico, and Real could have been 2-3 goals up. I mean, quite lucky to go in 0-0 at half-time. Second half was much better from Atletico, and I think we just saw that cutting edge. I mean, Rodrigo de Paul, we've seen him be much improved in the last few weeks of the season, and he was fantastic. And then a great little goal from Angel Correa as well, a brilliant finish. So in the end, a good ending to the season, even with that injury time consolation goal for Real Sociedad. But I think that was kind of a good description of the season for Atletico, not making easy work of it, but just about getting across the line and doing what everyone hoped for.
You mentioned Rodrigo de Paul, and we'll discuss him in detail in a few minutes. But this form he showed in the last few games of the season, it was exactly what we were hoping for when the signing was announced. It was what generated the hype and what everyone expected to see from the Argentine. So do you see him? Do you see a change of role from De Paul? Do you think that's what made him improve, or was it just him finding his feet at the club with more game time?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, but to be honest, I think this change in the last couple of weeks has come from the change in position that he's had. I think Theo Simeone moved me a little bit further up the field. I mean, he wasn't doing that in the first half against Real Sociedad, but in the second half, he moved him further up, and I think that worked really quite well because it releases him from some of those defensive duties that I don't think are really good at Paul's strengths. And I mean, I know we've heard him talk about it a lot in the past, but he's kind of a Diego Simeone in the modern day, and I don't really think he is. I mean, I don't think he's got that kind of that fighting ability, that tough tackling. I don't think that's Rodrigo de Paul. I think his strength comes from being in a more advanced position. And we haven't really seen that this season. I think the last few weeks is the first time we've seen that. And obviously the goal against Elche, the goal against Real Sociedad, and I think he's looked a lot more threatening going forwards. And that's what Atletico need. But I think it kind of highlights as well the struggles that Diego Simeone's had with his options in midfield this season, because we have only had Geoffrey Kondogbia as kind of the only holding midfielder available. for most of the season. And so that's meant that the ball has had to play in a deeper role, has had to kind of do a bit more defensive work that maybe wouldn't do at another time. So I think hopefully this is a positive, and we can see that maybe next season he'll be playing in that role more, and we can see kind of the benefits of that.
Yeah, it's, that's another thing we'll discuss later, and it's not really been a great year for the midfielders for Atletico. Koke wasn't really himself at all this season. Llorente was mostly playing as a right wing back, but even when played as a midfielder, struggled. Lemar kept getting injured, and Kondogbia as well. While he was great in the second half of the season, was also struggling with injuries and didn't have a fantastic first half of the season. We'll discuss many things in this episode, but one of them is what are the positions Atletico should strengthen the most in the summer? And do you see a pressing? Do you see the midfield as a pressing issue for Atletico to address, especially with the struggling defense as well, and Luis Suarez leaving, so there's no center forward in the team right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you put it like that, I think Atletico can strengthen in every position. I mean, Lecomte's loan will end, and Grivich will be coming back in goal. I guess that's a strength. And right back, for me, is the top priority, because we can't have a full season with Simo Vasaliko as first choice or Marcos Llorente as a makeshift right back. I just don't think that's sustainable long term to Atletico being any good. I think centre back, again, should be a high priority. I mean, it looks like Felipe is going to get a new contract, but I think Atleti need to be aiming a little bit higher than that. And again, if we're going to play with three at the back, I think we've seen this season that four or five options aren't the best. And let's see what happens with Mario Hermoso. Is he still going to be around come the end of the transfer window? Left back, you could say that that's a comfortable position. I mean, with Renan Lodi, with Reinildo, there's a lot of talk about Renan Lodi. If he leaves, who will replace him? Could that be Sol, who's coming back and operating as a left wing back? Then looking at the midfield, as you just say, I think there's plenty of room for improvement there, especially with Hector Herrera leaving. And in attack, well, we've seen that Luis Suarez is leaving. There's rumours about Angel Correa, question marks over Antoine Griezmann. I mean, so many uncertainties that it's hard to say where Atletico should focus. If it were me, I think the first thing I would be looking to get sorted would be that right-back position, because that's the bare essential, I think. If Atletico can only make one signing this season, it should be a right back. We can get by with Koke, Rodrigo de Paul and Kondogbia. We can get by with Saul playing a left back if needs be, but you can't get by with Simo Vasaliko and Marcos Llorente at right back.
It seems fitting, but most of the links so far for the transfer window have been right backs for Atletico. Nahuel Molina and Klaus from Lens seem like the priority signings, and both of them have excellent numbers. So we'll see who Atletico end up signing. Another thing about Klaus, he's quite an interesting profile, because he seems to be more of a right-wing back, more offensive-minded than a right back. His defensive numbers, while decent, aren't the greatest. So it seems interesting that Atletico are targeting him, especially with the rumors that Simeone wants to free Marcos Llorente further up the pitch for next season. So that's something to look into in the next few weeks. So that answers a question that was sent from us from Bert about the right back names being mentioned. And another thing about that position in particular is that Vasaliko isn't really isn't certain to be a part of the squad next season, as his contract expires on June 30th. But he is negotiating a new contract at the moment. It's not clear if he's going to sign it, but Atletico are targeting names to both replace Trippier and Vasaliko with Pablo Mateo from Mallorca being one of the names being mentioned. So what are your thoughts about the season that Mateo had?
That who had, sorry?
Pablo Mateo, the Mallorca right
back. Yeah, I think he's been very impressive, I think. Of all the options, he's perhaps the least exciting one, but almost that kind of not exciting because we know him, because we've seen him in La Liga, we've seen him up close against Atleti. And he has always kind of been at one of those teams that's down towards the bottom fighting for their lives, but he's always been one of the better players within those teams. So, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, to focus and kind of really assess just how good he is and how good he could be in a team like Atletico, because it's a very different game, kind of on the front foot than being on the back foot in a team that is defending. So I think it would be interesting to see how he'd fit in Atletico. I think for me, the strongest option is Klaus from Lens. I think he's a really kind of promising player. I think he's the one who, for me, is the most similar to Kieran Trippier, that could be kind of a like-for-like replacement. But I think, yeah, Mateo is an excellent alternative.
Very well. So we'll return to the talk about this summer and transfers. For the time being, just reflecting on the season that Atleti had, so many people had much higher expectations, and you could say rightfully so after winning the league. So what went wrong for Atleti this season? Were the expectations too high, or was it something different that prevented this from being another special season?
I think that part of it might have been the expectations. I think for the first time in a very, very long time this season, people thought that Atletico could defend their title, and I think that was always optimistic. But I think also there's elements of this squad. I think part of what made the squad so good last season was that there was a lot of unity and they kind of came together, and it made a squad that was better than the individuals within it, maybe. This season, the signings, Rodrigo de Paul, I mean, a star with a big ego, Antoine Griezmann, a star with a big ego. And I think that unsettled things in the dressing room. I think that you could tell that there was friction, that the team were playing more like individuals than anything else. And I think you could really see that. And that's effectively what kind of disrupted the team early on in the season. So I think it was a challenge and it's something that we didn't really see coming. I think that's something that maybe Diego Simeone can learn from, that Andrea Berta can learn from. I mean, when you're signing these players, it's not just about their talents on the pitch, but about the personality and how they fit in off the pitch as well. So I think it's an interesting challenge for Atletico, and I think maybe we have moved past the worst of that now. I mean, they did recover the form and so on, but I think it's just also led to kind of an identity crisis from Atletico of not being clear of what they want to do, what Diego Simeone wants his team to play like. And I think they've done that now. They've found a temporary solution, but long term, that's going to need more changes. That's going to raise questions about how does Koke fit into this team? Do we stick with Jose Mari Jimenez and his constant injuries and so on? I think there's a lot of questions that we forgot about last season that have come right back to the fore again this season.
Yeah, that's an excellent point you raised there. And it's the fact that the title win last season kind of overshadowed and blinded so many people of the weak points in the squad. Let's say there are a lot of sirens in the second part of the season last year. Atletico, while they had a phenomenal first half of the season, picked up 50 points. In the second half of the season, they looked dodgy in defense. They couldn't really. They had a lot of matches where they struggled to convert chances, and I think that those were like sirens. Those were alarming points for Atletico, and they didn't really address any of them in the summer. There was a pressing need for a centre back, who's it's still a priority right now. Even though Reinildo has been excellent, he did turn things around in January. The defensive midfield, Koke, was a makeshift defensive midfielder last season, and he did a phenomenal job. He struggled this season, and the only other defensive... Koke isn't really a defensive midfielder, let's get that out of the way. So the only natural defensive midfielder in the squad was Kondogbia, and he was struggling with injuries. So those are like the two most obvious things that weren't addressed in the summer, and hopefully they go out and fix those problems in the squad right now.
Yeah, and I think that has to be the key and the priority this summer.
Okay. So with that out of the way, let's move on and discuss the players in the squad and the season they had. Starting with the goalkeepers, we're skipping Leconte as he didn't really play any minutes this season. Let's talk about Jan Oblak. Sam, what are your thoughts about the season Oblak had?
Well, I mean, I guess this is Jan Oblak's worst season since he came in, since he's really been first choice at Letby, right? I mean, especially the first half of the season, there were lots of kind of basic mistakes, things that we just haven't seen from Jan Oblak in years. And so it kind of struck us as like, maybe another goalkeeper makes those same three, four mistakes and that's normal. We don't really talk about it. But with Jan Oblak, it was like, wow, what's going on? I think he did pick up towards the end of the season. His form was much better, and I think he did save Atletico points like he always does at various points throughout the season. But I think maybe this is the first disappointing campaign from Jan Oblak. I mean, not even in contention for the Zamora Trophy. So I think maybe if we're going to give him a grade, what are we doing? Out of 10, then maybe a 6 for Jan Oblak?
What do you reckon? Yeah. You did mention that he... picked up form in the second half of the season, and do you think it was a confidence issue for Jan Oblak, as his defense was struggling in the first half of the season, but as they improved in the second half, he didn't make as many mistakes. So do you think it was more of a confidence issue, or was it Oblak just having an off season?
Yeah, I think there was an element of it being confidence. I mean, I think it's quite obvious that with the defence performing quite so poorly in front of him, it made him uncomfortable. And I think there was also that kind of a downward spiral that the defence made Jan Oblak feel a bit less confident. He would make a mistake. He would make the defence feel even less confident. They would play even worse and so on. It was a vicious spiral that just led to more mistakes, more goals conceded, and it felt like it was never going to end, really, for Atletico. So I think, yeah, maybe a confidence issue. And I think it does, touch wood, seem to be sorted now. And I also think there was an element at the time, there was a lot of talk about Jan Oblak's future. Maybe there were some distractions there. And even off the field, I mean, it seems silly to talk about it. Maybe it's going too personal, too much detail. But I know that there's a lot of talk this season in some of the Spanish press about that kind of group that were very close friends of Stefan Savic and Jan Oblak and a few other players, and a lot of those players now have got partners and so on, and Jan Oblak is single. I mean, you know, you wonder if that's starting to affect him off the field, if he's not spending so much time with his friends and whatever, that maybe it does affect your concentration, your focus a little bit. So, I mean, so many different factors when we're talking about playing at such an elite level as Jan Oblak is, so it's hard to criticise him too much, because for how many years in a row would we have given Jan Oblak a 10 out of 10? So the 1 year he's not 10 out of 10, I guess we have to cut him some slack.
We're gonna say this about every player in the squad, starting with obviously Jan Oblak. Would you keep him for next season with an idea in mind that his contract expires in 2023. He is in negotiations to extend his contract, but if he doesn't, this will be Atletico Madrid's last chance to get a transfer fee for him. So do you think Atleti should if he doesn't renew his contract, do you think Atleti should risk losing him for free, or do you think they should go out and find a replacement?
I think it's going to be very difficult, seeing all the other areas in the squad that players have to be signed. I mean, what are Atleti realistically going to get for Jan Oblak this summer with a year left on his contract and nearing 30? I mean, 30, 40 million, can you sign a goalkeeper who's going to come in and immediately perform at that level for that amount of money? Probably not. And then you don't really have a backup goalkeeper. I mean, Ribic has been out on loan and not exactly convinced at Lille, so you can't really make him your number one. I think Atleti need to have one more year with Oblak and to find the replacement, if Oblak is going to leave, to have that 12 months for that replacement to settle in, or to scout that replacement and make sure that as soon as they come in, they're going to perform from day one. So for me, I would keep him, whatever is going to happen with his contract.
Well, it's good news that it seems that negotiations are positive, that he is willing to extend, but not for a very long time, maybe 2 or 3 seasons, which is plenty of time to have one of the best goalkeepers in the last decade. So let's move on to defenders, starting with José María Jiménez. Sam, what are your thoughts about the season here?
Well, this is another difficult one, I suppose, because when José María Jiménez has played, I think we're talking about a 9 out of 10 season. He's been superb throughout all of the season. He's one of the few players who hasn't had a bad game, hasn't let the team down, and he has turned up in the big moments. I mean, we've seen him make some magnificent performances against Manchester United and so on. I think that was kind of him at his best. Then, on the other hand, how many games has he missed through injury? I mean, there's been a lot of games where, like that Manchester United game, he played through the pain and then missed the next 3-4 games. And that's always going to be Josema's problem long-term. I mean, it's great to have Josema in the squad, but you know that you need a player to cover for him as well when he's inevitably injured. So I think maybe with his injuries, you have to lower that score down a couple. So maybe I'd go for a 7 out of 10. Is that perhaps a little bit harsh?
It's not harsh at all. I'd agree with you. And Jiménez is quite a frustrating player. Well, on the pitch, like you said, he's a commanding player, one of the best centre-backs in the world. But his injuries do spoil it a lot, and he missed, I think, 11 matches this season in the league alone, 5 more in the Champions League. So having him is definitely a positive for the squad, but you know, the injuries spoil it a lot. And like we did with Oblak, the idea that if an offer comes for Jiménez, do you think Atleti should stick with him?
Now that is a tough question. I think if there's an offer for, I don't know what we're talking, kind of 50, 60 million euros, which doesn't seem unreasonable in the current market, then yeah, maybe it is worth selling José María Jiménez. I mean, as good a defender as he is, he's only that good a defender for the 50% of the games where he's actually available. Would you take somebody who's not quite at that level, but will be available week in, week out? I mean, Reinildo is the perfect example. And we'll get onto Reinildo and his score a bit later on, but do we value having a Reinildo who's not as good as Josema, but you know that every week he's going to be a consistent, solid, you know, 7 out of 10 performance or worse? I think maybe that is a debate that's worth having for Atletico if there is a big offer that comes in. But it's probably worth considering.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 50 or 60 million transfer fee. This is the valuation he has on transfer market. And he is attracting interest from Premier League sides, namely Chelsea, who have wanted him for quite a few years. So, like you mentioned, if an offer comes for anything north of 50 million, I think it's worth considering. And I would pull the trigger and sell Josema in that case, as difficult a decision as it might be. Emmanuel, you have been very critical of Jimenez in the past for that very reason and his injuries. Give us your two cents about this.
Well, firstly, the club who wants to compete for titles and your top centre-back hasn't played up to even 30 league games for the amount of seasons he has been at your club. That's not great. And in my opinion, Atleti missed a huge opportunity to catch out on him last season when the Premier League clubs were interested in him. I, for one, would like Jose Mar to stay, but, well, it is football and no things like that. So, it's true, he's a fan favourite and all, but with him in the club won't sign. With him staying at the club, Atleti won't sign a centre-back, and with his continuous injuries, I think that's not really good for the club. Atleti season. For example, take the fact that this summer Atleti are not successful in selling Hermoso, and we are basically stuck with the same defenders we had last season. So that implies we will be relying on him for another season at our top centre-back, and we all know how his injury record is. So, in my opinion, this season, Atleti should make the most of it, and I'm sure there will be lots of Premier League clubs interested. For example, Chelsea, given the fact that Rudiger will be leaving for Real Madrid, Christensen maybe for Barcelona, and they have a new owner who is willing to spend. So, in my opinion, Atleti cash out on him and take the money. And I think they are, like I've been saying, there are so many good centre-backs out there who I think will come at Atleti and will not take a longer time to adapt. So, I'm for the fact that Atleti should sell him this summer. And as for his season, I don't think he has been that bad, but he has had games in which he was horrible, like the game against Liverpool in the Champions League where he was just going out of position, and he has had games like that, but he has also been brilliant. But his main problem is him not being reliable. The team cannot count on him. So if Atleti sell him, then that's good, in my opinion, for the club.
Very well. So moving on, the next centre-back is Stefan Savic. And Sam, what are your thoughts about this season?
Yeah, for me, he's been one of the best players this season. I'd give him kind of a solid, maybe even a 9 out of 10. I think he's been reliable, consistent. He's been one of the leaders within the team. I mean, for me, one of the few players who I think has lived up to expectations and formulas we might have hoped for this season. So his discipline is still going to be an issue, as it always is, but I think I've been pretty impressed by him, and he's shown what he brings to the team. I mean, on and off the field, I mean, the scenes against Manchester City and everything, he was at the very heart of it, but that's what Stefan Savic was all about. So I think I quite enjoyed watching Stefan Savic this season, so yeah, I'd be quite positive on him.
Yeah, he is one of the most, I think, satisfying players we have in the squad currently. One of the players that, when you think of Cholismo, most of the players you think of are players that came and left. Let's say Gabi, Raul Garcia. Stefan Savic is the most similar to those players in the current squad, in my opinion. And it's definitely a welcome addition that he's an excellent defender. While he was struggling for a few seasons early on in his athletic career, his last two seasons have been nothing short of phenomenal. So I think it's a unanimous yes to keep Stefan Savic at the heart of the defense. The next defender is Felipe, and quite a... I'll leave the talking for you, Sam.
Okay, you're going to make me talk about Felipe. I mean, I didn't realise that I was coming on the podcast to be tortured and made to suffer. No, Felipe, 2 years ago, I was one of his biggest fans. I thought he was fantastic. I wanted to get a tattoo of Felipe's face on my chest. And now I'm very glad that I didn't, because I would have been going to a laser tattoo removal surgery to get it taken off. He's been absolutely terrible. I mean, one of those players who you look at, you watch, and you think, oh, I almost feel bad for you, because it's just so clear that you're no longer at this level. I mean, he's clearly a really nice guy. He's very popular. He gets on with a lot of the squad, but But man, I mean, his performances this season, I mean, he's just been so easily turned inside out, so predictable. And it's just been dangerous. I mean, you see him get yellow cards in the first 5 minutes of games, and you just know that he's going to get sent off, and inevitably 20 minutes later he does. And it's just, I mean, you just spoke there. We just spoke about Stefan Savic, or at least, I mean, that whole side of being very tough, very physical, but knowing where the limits are on managing games. Felipe doesn't do that. Felipe just barges through people, gets straight red cards, picks up double yellows. I mean, just none of that intelligence that you need. So yeah, a really disappointing season from him. I personally wouldn't have renewed his contract this season, but I mean, he has turned up with the odd goal. I mean, that injury time winner against Osasuna at the Metropolitano, I mean, earns him some points, but if I had to give him a mark out of 10, I think I'd be struggling to give him more than a 2 or a 3, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, and I mean, for everything that you said, you weren't harsh. I think I absolutely agree with everything you mentioned. And yeah, apologies for the torture there. Emmanuel, it seems that Felipe, I mean, I think we agree that we wouldn't offer him a new contract, but it seems that Atleti have already done that. So we're giving you a tough question. What do you think is the idea behind renewing Felipe?
I think that's not the motive of the question, other than the fact that the club are not sure that they are going to sign a centre-back in the market, which is kind of surprising given the amount of centre-backs that are especially in France and for a very affordable fee for a club like Atleti. But it shows that the club have gone for a cheaper option and renewing Felipe, I don't really know why. It's really hard to understand the logic behind that, given he was brilliant in his first season, but then the next two seasons he kind of flopped, and Atleti had the chance to let him go and reinforce the defensive area, but they gave him another shot at the team. And you have somebody like Nuno Perez, who just had a good loan spell at Udinese, and you are thinking Nuno should be having that place, but now with Felipe in the team, that means he's on the up on the pecking order, and really a tough question to answer. Like Sam said, when he comes on, gets early booking, his positioning is kind of off. He has had some good games here, but he's been horrible all throughout the season. So it's really tough to understand why the club is giving him a new contract. It's true he has been with the group for a long time, and maybe with him in the team, you have guys like Cunha, Luzzi, and Renildo close to him and they speak Portuguese, but it's really, really tough from a sporting perspective. I mean, this is a team that wants to fight for La Liga next season. Well, Cholo says the club's the board's objective is for them to finish in the top four, but his objective is to win the Champions League. So that kind of says a lot about maybe a clutch of objectives, because Cholo has been calling for that. The fans deserve to demand more from the team, but the owner seems satisfied. The top four finish and constant Champions League money coming in. So I think there's something going on. We don't really know, but I'm not surprised by that, because we know Atleti are not well managed and Cholo marks a lot of things that those guys are doing. So it's really tough to say as to why the club are giving him a new contract. Well, I would just go for the fact that he lost Atleti and he fights for the badge and he has people in the dressing room who are close to him. That's all I'll say.
Very well. So the torture continues with the next defender, and it's Mario Hermoso. Sam, what are your thoughts about Hermoso?
Are we talking about Mario Hermoso, the central defender, or Mario Hermoso, the left winger who scores injury time goals all the time?
We'll try to find the balance between the two.
I mean, I think it says a lot that his 2-3 best moments have all come playing as a left winger rather than as a centre back. I mean, last season he looked so solid, so reliable, so at home with Jimenez and Savic, and this season he's looked like a liability and very uncomfortable, very nervous. He hasn't had any confidence, and I think it's a bit like Oblak that all of this feeds into each other, and we're seeing kind of the struggles and so on there. I think it's a challenge, because I mean, can Diego Simeone recover the best of Mario Hermoso, or is it too far gone? Is he just not that good a player? Was last season an overperformance and this season is back to the norm? I mean, some big questions, and I think I would be tempted to allow him to move on and just make his career for himself. I think he is better when he plays week in, week out, and he feels at home, he feels comfortable, he feels assured that he's going to be a regular in the team. And for me, I'd much rather have Reinildo in the team than Mario Hermoso at the moment.
Yeah, and you said it's a big question whether Hermoso in the title-winning season was an overperformance or is he just a good player. I'm leaning towards the fact that it was a massive overperformance, especially that he wasn't that good in the second half of the season either, of that title-winning season. So I think if an offer comes for, say, 15 million or any similar fee, I would sell him immediately. He was phenomenal in that part of the season, of the 2021 season, but other than that, we haven't really seen anything convincing from Hermoso. While his last-minute goals are very, very interesting to watch, especially that bicycle kick goal that finished the comeback for Atleti, a 4-3 win at the Metropolitano in the 91st minute. I'm in disbelief even saying that, but I do think any offer for Hermoso would be tempting, and I would sell him. Use that money for a different defender. And like you said, having Reinildo in that left centre-back position is a massive upgrade. And that was, I think, the turning point of Atleti's season, having a reliable defender in that position who really strengthened the defence. And Atleti didn't really start having clean sheets week in, week out until Reinildo was introduced in that position. What are your thoughts about Reinildo?
Well, I said earlier that I wanted to get a Felipe tattoo a couple of years ago on my chest. Well, now I want a Reinildo tattoo, but just do it on my face. Like, I love him that much. Reinildo can be the signing of the season, not only for Atletico, but for me, one of the best signings of the season in La Liga. I mean, the difference he made to the Atleti defence coming in, and I think it was just that, like I said earlier, I mean, he's just consistent. And I think that was what was missing, was that we had Stefan Savic, who was good, but he'd have the odd off game. Then we'd have Samuel Jimenez, who would be good, but then he'd be injured. Reinildo is never outstanding. He's never the best player on the pitch, but he's always good. And he doesn't let you down. I mean, that's what I think has been so good about Reinildo, that you know what you get with Reinildo. He was a bargain signing. And he's played pretty much every game since he came on as a substitute against Barcelona and hasn't looked back since.
Those are the centre backs that Atleti had for that position, and I think we all agree that Atleti should be in the market for another centre back. They have been linked with a few names, but it doesn't seem that negotiations are advanced for any of them. So we'll see how that plays out in the summer. Obviously, the player that Atleti can sell and generate money the most out of is Hermoso, and I do think he will be on his way out in the summer. The next player I'd like to talk about is Renan Lodi. What are your thoughts about Lodi's season?
I think he's been very up and down. I think, you know, we've had probably Fernando Lodi's best performances in an Atletico shirt, but two or three. And other than that, I mean, a season is, including the Champions League, the Copa del Rey, I mean, we're looking at, 50 games a season. And I think Fernando Lodi for 5-10 of those has been excellent. And for the other 40 has been pretty disappointing. So, I mean, there's a lot of talk of Newcastle's interest and 60 million euro bids and this kind of thing. If that's the case, then cash in now. I mean, he's young players with potential, but he's never looked at home in that left-back role or in the left-wing-back role. And I think he's just not defensively sound enough. And if we're talking about him as a left-winger, is he good enough for Atletico Madrid as a left-winger? I mean, he's shown that he can do it on the odd occasion, but I don't think Atletico need to save 60 million euros just for the sake of an inconsistent winger rather than a left back.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And my biggest issue with Lodi is that he was signed as a promising left back, but we haven't really seen him improve at all at Atletico. He's always struggled with crossing. Like you said, he's not the greatest defender around, but he is attracting interest with a lot of high fees from the English teams. I agree with you that Atleti should cash in and get a replacement, and especially with names like Owen Vindal and José Luis Gaya being on the market. I would cash in right now, and it's almost like Atleti can upgrade in that position, whilst also making money if there's any truth to those rumors. Emmanuel, what are your thoughts about this?
I think you guys have said everything, almost everything about Lodi. Consistently, he hasn't improved, but the reason why he's attracting interest is due to his profile, and his profile was a more possession-based club, a club which has a more position-based club, and a club which attacks a lot and gives their fullbacks a lot of freedom and has less defensive work, which is why I think it attracts a lot of interest from Premier League clubs. But if there's one thing he has improved, I think it's his crossing, and that's really down to the fact that he has found himself in acres of spaces between crossing into the box. But Alexis having a good fee for him this summer would be great for the club. The issue always come in with the club bringing a good profile. Yes, there are players who are available like Gaia, but you are not sure if the club are going to go for those options, because with Atleti, it's like everything is possible. You may see and they just go and they get someone from somewhere you don't even know, and maybe someone not even good as Lodi. So it's really tough. The squad need upgrade. They are saying that we have to sell before we bring in players, but then again, how are we going to spend the money? We don't really know, because there's a lot of question marks on it's a player that we should bring in.
Okay, so next on the list is Sime Versalico. Sam, what are your thoughts about Versalico's season?
I think it's actually been weirdly positive. I mean, if you asked us a year ago, should Sime Versalico get a new contract, I think we would have said no chance. And now maybe we do have that doubt, and I think that's because of his performance. I mean, he's put his body on the line at time. I mean, again, game against Porto, where he played for 45 minutes with his face hanging off, basically. And I mean, you know, that's very Cholismo, like we spoke about with Stefan Savic, very similar kind of thing. And I think he has filled in and performed probably better expected. I don't think he's the kind of quality that Atletico need, but I think maybe if he's on cheap wages, he's worth keeping around the place just as a backup option. You can play in a back three, you can play as a wing back, and you know what you're going to get with him. He's going to have his injuries, he's going to struggle at times, but he'll be around, he'll be available, and he'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah, and for the contract negotiations, it seems that Atleti offered him half his current salary, and he's unsure of this current offer, and it seems that he's thinking about his future at the moment. I wouldn't mind him staying as a backup option, like you said, but it seems that Atleti are have lined up replacement if he doesn't, so we'll see how that plays out in the summer. So that's it for the defenders in the squad for this season, unless you want to count Marco Sirente as a right back, and that's the next player we'll discuss. What are your thoughts about Llorente's season, Sam?
Well, look, on the face of it, I think we have to start off by saying it was disappointing after last season. I mean, so many goals, so many assists, and then this season, none of that. I think we have to be honest and start there. But then I think we also have to kind of say, like, look, okay, Marco Llorente this season isn't playing in the same role or anything at all like that, like we had last season. So I think we have to judge him fairly by that. I think he's got the job done. I don't think it's been a role he's enjoyed particularly. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. With Marco Llorente, I think he's a very talented player. And the talk is, as you mentioned earlier, that the plan is to get a right back who can allow him to bomb forward a bit more and resume that kind of role he had early last season. So hopefully that is the case. And we can do that. And that would really help to get the best out of him again. So a frustrating season for him, a frustrating season for us watching him, but I think one that's worth being patient for.
Okay, a tough question coming up, and it's if, say, he attracted interest from a certain club, and he is, I think, one of the highest valued players in the squad because of that phenomenal season he had in the title-winning campaign. If, say, 60 million offer comes, would you sell Llorente?
I would be tempted not to, just because I think his performances last season, I think Atletico could have demanded more than 60 million. And hopefully next season we'll have more performances like that, and Atletico could demand more than 60 million euros again. But also, just because he's one of those players, and there's very few in this Atletico squad, you can say that Diego Simeone could build a squad around, and I think he does have that influence, that potential, that there's that possibility. So I would keep hold of him even for 60 million euros.
Very well. Emmanuel, the next player we'll discuss is Kondogbia. What are your thoughts about Kondogbia's season?
Firstly, I think he's been Atleti's best player this season. Despite the fact he's been in and out of the team due to injuries, Kondogbia, in the second season, Atleti has done quite well, in my opinion. Atleti has been in shambles this season. Their midfield has been torn apart on several occasions. Kondogbia there is like the guy who puts everyone together and makes things stable, along with Renudo, you have just talked about. And Kondogbia's strengths are mostly ball winning and covering the ball and giving it to those who do it better and who are able to manipulate it, do better things with the ball. And that's what he has done, especially towards the end of the season. The Champions League game against United and against City was just brilliant. And he's someone who we have complained in the past about for the fact that he's not the fastest with the ball. He takes time to make decisions or give passes. But in those games, he showed improvement in passing, and it was great. And in the games, we have seen Atleti press, play with high intensity, play with high press. You have seen him as this the force behind that, and he's like the one who initiates everything. So he's been brilliant, and having him at this club next season is great. But I don't think going forward, Atleti is going to do well with having him as the starting option. Given Atleti, we are like Beth said on Twitter, we have been spoiled when we had Rodri and Partey, and now Kondogbia is not, I will not say he's worse than them, but he's not at that level, because those guys were good manipulators of the balls, and Kondogbia is not really that, but off the ball, he's really this, and he's really unplayable when he's at his best in midfield. And his best games in season were against Celta Vigo on the match they won. Then you have the Champions League games, and you also have the connection he has created with Lodi, and especially when Lodi plays as a left wing back. So he's really been fantastic. This is a lot of praise for him, apart from the fact that he's been in and out of the team due to injuries.
And another thing about Kondogbia, or any defensive midfielder, is that he provides security and allows Depaul to be more to play in a more advanced position, allows Llorente to play in a more advanced position, it allows Koke more time on the ball. So I think it is essential that I would keep hold of Kondogbia, but I think it's essential to sign another defensive midfielder. Would you agree with me there, Sam?
Yeah, I think Kondogbia has been absolutely excellent, but I think we do need an alternative there to even just to rest him, to be able to get the best out of him going forwards, and just to not depend on him quite to the same extent that we have this season, that when he's not there, you can you can really tell the difference.
Very well. So a player that we sort of skipped from the defense, from the defenders, but he was signed in January to sort of replace Trippier, but he only played, I think, one half, and it was against Barcelona. It's Daniel Vaz. He got injured in that match, and he hasn't gotten any minutes since. So that's a question we got from Danish Khan. And what's the deal with Vaz? What do you think, Sam?
Well, I mean, I think it was a signing which kind of made sense at the time, thinking long term that he could come in, be the right back solution for now, then end up being a central midfield cover option and be a bit more flexible. End of the day is that he got that injury. He wasn't available. Vasalico came back to fitness and played well. Vaz hasn't had another look in. Who knows if something went on behind the scenes with Vaz and Simeone after that whole injury and the fiasco there. Was he injured? Wasn't he injured? Did Simeone force him to play or not? And now it looks like Vaz is going to leave this summer. So I think you have to say, waste of money from Atletico Madrid to sign him and pay his wages for 6 months. Not necessarily on him, but just for squad planning, really.
Yeah, and it seemed like he was doubting his ability to continue at the top level even before Atleti signed him, as he was planning to go back to Denmark before Atleti came knocking on Valencia to sign him in January. So it does raise a question that why Atleti went for him. And, like I said, it's very poor squad planning from Atletico there. And again, like you said, it made sense at the time, but I think right now it makes sense for him to move on. So with that, we will move on, and we will talk about Koke. What are your thoughts about Koke's season?
I thought he started well. To be honest, in August, September, I thought he looked pretty good, kind of a continuation of last season, and then he had a couple of injuries, faded very quickly, and just hasn't looked quite right. I mean, I think in this setup, he's always looked a little bit lost, not sure of what his role is or where he fits into this team. And I think we're still seeing that today. I think we're seeing that he doesn't really fit into either of these midfield roles. He doesn't really look his most fit. I mean, I think this is a difficult season for Koke, and one that he'll be glad to see the back of. And I think he needs to have a rest over the summer. We can't forget he was at the Euros last summer as well, so he needs to have a rest this summer, and hopefully in August he'll come back a little bit more fit, a little bit more sharp, and we'll see the Koke of old come back, because we all want to see that at Atleti.
Absolutely. The next player, obviously Depaul, we did talk about him earlier. There were some rumors about some Serie A teams being interested in him. Emmanuel, would you keep Depaul for another season if a big offer comes for him?
Well, that surprised me. That's me a question on Koke, but never mind. As for Depaul, well, I think it's just his first season at Atleti, and as I personally, I always have expectations of players who come to Atleti to kind of struggle at their first season and not just start from the world goal. And Depaul, he kind of had a good start, but kind of faded off. And in my opinion, it wasn't his fault. All his fault was kind of a mixture of him going out of form and solo, playing him in so many positions. And in the end, you don't really know where you are playing. And so, if Atleti are planning on keeping for next season, then I think Cholo will have to maybe rethink things on where he will have to play the ball, given his best when he has the ball in the position half and can make things happen from there. Like, for example, at the start of the season, he received so much praise because we saw that his vision in his play. And even though he kind of, I think at times when he was out of form, led to a lot of turnovers, which kind of leads to counter-attacks, but that's the risk you always take with players like Depaul. So from the one I'm keeping from next season, because we need that extra creativity, and Atleti struggle to beat the teams in the bottom half of the league this season and lost a lot of points between them. And there was even a tweet about Aliti. If Aliti were able to take just maybe 3/4 of the points they lost against teams in the bottom half of the table, then they would have been in for the title race. And that was due to the fact that Aliti lacked creativity in those games. So keeping the ball is good for the squad, but that all depends on the plans Cholo have for Aliti next season.
Very well. The next player is Lamar. Sam, what are your thoughts about Lamar's season?
Yeah, another one of those players I think we haven't seen the best of this season. I don't think he's been bad, but I don't think we've seen the best of him either. So, I mean, just kind of doing enough to still deserve a place in the squad and so on, but not doing enough to necessarily stand out this season. So, difficult one to judge, but I think he's earned a kind of the respect of Atleti fans now to allow him that. He's had a kind of a few niggling injuries that kept interrupting him. So a difficult season for him as well, I guess.
It's worth mentioning with Lamar that he will, like Oblak, be out of contract in 2023. So if he doesn't renew his contract, and there are rumors that he is in doubt, it's doubtful that he will sign a new contract. So would you sell him? Would you cash in on him this summer if he doesn't renew?
I think you have to with a player of his age and the transfer fee he could potentially command. I'd be reluctant to. I think Atleti will try and tie him down. But I think if he doesn't want to stay and he makes that clear, then yeah, you have to cash in and try and bring back some of that investment, because it was a big investment. Was it 70 million euros? Recoup some of that money. I don't think Atleti are a club that can afford to make big signings like that and allow them to leave for free.
Yeah, and another thing with Lamar is that Monaco will get 20% of any transfer fee, as that was part of the deal when he was signed. So Atleti, I mean, they shouldn't accept a low fee. They should, you know, try to get some of that money they invested in him 3 summers ago. And with names like Soler being on the market, I think it's a golden opportunity for Atletico. They could get that special offer from Valencia, as it seemed like they were asking for, I think, 60 or 70 million for both Gaia and Soler, wrapped up nicely. So I do think Atleti would be sort of upgrading two positions if, say, Lamar and Lodi do leave, and Atleti get both of those players in. While I do think Soler, I wouldn't say he's an upgrade on Lamar, but he definitely is more available, and it's sort of a Jimenez position with Lamar at this point. It's that he keeps getting injured, even though he's playing well. So I think if, say, an offer comes for Lamar that gets Atleti most of their money back, I would sell him at this point, assuming he doesn't renew his contract, of course. Next up is Yannick Carrasco, and I do think he's been one of the best players in the Atleti squad this season. Sam, what are your thoughts about him?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I know Emmanuel said earlier that his player of the season was Condoglio. For me, the player of the season has been Carrasco. I mean, one of the few players who, even when his form hasn't been as good, he's still been good. When his form has been good, he's been outstanding, and he's won points for Atletico single-handedly. So, for me, the best player that Atletico have had this season, and very fortunate to have him in the squad.
After a season like that, obviously attracting interest, again, Newcastle, and it seemed like his release clause is 60 million. So, I mean, it's we Atleti don't have a say if the release clause is paid, but if they have some room for negotiations, Would you accept that fee for Carrasco?
No, if I were Atletico Madrid, my top priority this season would be to sign a new contract with Carrasco and to increase that release clause to a much, much, much higher figure. I think 60 million is a bargain for a player of Yannick Carrasco's quality.
Okay, so another player we skipped was Hector Herrera, who is on his way out of the squad. But Emmanuel, what are your thoughts about the sort of season that Herrera had? And do you think Atleti should be in the market for a replacement for him?
I think Herrera had an okay season as he was a squad player, a player you count on, come off the bench and fill in a role for someone who was absent. Yes, we know he has some weaknesses, but there were games in which he played and he was really quite good and we're like wow, he really had that in him. And him leaving opens up a spot for Atleti to sign another player and a defensive midfielder, which we were all hoping that would be Kamara, but Aston Villa signed him, so hopefully the club can get a replacement for him. Because like Sam just talked about, he's going to sign another guy, maybe to rest Colombia or maybe as a starting option for the defensive holding midfield position.
Very well. That's it for midfielders. And next up is the forwards, starting with the big investment, João Félix. What are your thoughts about Félix's season, Sam?
I think this season has been his best season. I mean, again, injuries have kind of robbed him of really selling when he's been in his best form. But I think he's shown us what we expected of him when he joined. And I think now we can feel a lot more positive, especially than early in the season when he was struggling a bit. But I think now we can be positive that, yeah, in João Félix, we have a player who can be a star to build a team around and to make a future out of Atletico Madrid. I think he's been very good, very promising, and I think there's more to come from him. And I think even Diego Simeone, who had some doubts, it seemed, has been convinced that he had plenty to offer.
Yeah, and it seems like he's finally fitting to the Simeone ideas. He's finally, buying into that. We're seeing him run more on the pitch. We're seeing him better positioning himself. He had, I think, 4 matches in a row where he scored in the first minute of the game. He was essential in quite a few matches. He scored against Manchester United in the Champions League. I think of the season, João Félix is something to be built upon. And hopefully we do see that from him, because that was finally what we were hoping to see. That was finally the all hyped up Félix the Atleti paid the big money for. And I think Gilmarín signed him as a player to sort of build a future with, sort of build a squad around. He's the big investment in here, and he's here to stay. And Atleti have made him untransferable he was attracting interest, but according to many reliable journalists, Atleti don't want to sell him and don't want to negotiate that. And with a high release clause, 350 million, I think Atleti, if he's willing to stay, then he is not moving in the summer. Up next, we will discuss Antoine Griezmann. Emmanuel, I mean, where to start with him?
Well, to be honest, I'm not a fan of Griezmann coming back or maybe staying in the squad, because I think Atleti kind of got the money which was right for Griezmann, because he kind of arrived at the place point where he was stagnant and he started dropping. But the club went for him, which was quite a surprising move, and in a chaotic summer last for Atleti. So for Griezmann this season, it's like he had, I would say, ill luck, because it's like the ball will not go in for him. He has is one of those decisive, the player who has missed the most big chances in the squad. So, like, in front of goal, he lost his touch, the touch which we know he had. He scored 20-plus goal for Aleti, so it was kind of weird seeing that. But another aspect of his game which kind of helped the team this season was the creative aspect. That his ability to link, to drop deep, link up play between the lines, create chances for others. That's what was displayed in the later games of the season. And that's something maybe him playing at the club, Cholo tries to exploit, because there have been games in which, I think the game against Betis for sure, in which he was able to drop into midfield, give Aleti superiority and ease progression. So that might be his new role, playing further and further away from the goal, maybe similar to that of which he has in France, where he plays behind Karim Benzema and Kylian Mbappe. So if Griezmann stays, I'm not really in for him staying, but well, if he stays, then maybe, just maybe, if an offer comes for Lima, then I will take it. But him staying, I'm not really a fan of him. But he's just had a, I don't know what to say, poor good season, but it's just been an awful season, even despite the fact he's still among the top three of good contributions in all competitions for Aleti.
I mean, he had some good performances this season, especially in the Champions League. He was the top scorer. He scored a brace against Liverpool. He carried, I would say, carried the team to the round of 16 after that amazing performance he had against Porto. But after that, he got injured, and that sort of put his season in a very weird position, where after he returned from injury, he was absolutely horrible. He just couldn't score to save his life. It was a very tough season for the Frenchman, but it does seem that he will stay for next season. And what are your thoughts about that, Sam, especially with his high salary?
Yeah, I don't particularly see the logic behind it. I mean, he's a Cholo player. He plays in a Cholo way. He drifts back, he covers, he does the defensive side of work. He does all that graft that is never going to get him the headlines and make everybody love him. But he does offer something, but I don't think he's really worth the wages or so on, because for those wages, you could bring in a top quality number nine. And I don't think that Antoine Griezmann is a top quality number nine anymore.
Very well. Next up is Angel Correa. And Sam, you said Carrasco was your player of the season. Emmanuel said Kondogbia was his. I'd say Correa is mine. He had the most goals in the squad. And while he was, let's say, struggling a bit in the second half of the season, he has an eye for goal. He has that period every season where he just scores every game, and he's always a brilliant player to have off the bench. But it does seem that he is frustrated with the minutes he's getting, and obviously, I mean, whatever he's doing, he's just not being the first option. He has Griezmann ahead of him, he has Felix ahead of him. So what are your thoughts about this current situation, Sam?
Yeah, it's a strange one for me. Angel Correa's performances this season have deserved and earned him a spot as kind of regular first choice. I think he's been playing that well, and if I was him, I'd be asking why not as well. And I think, especially with Antoine Griezmann coming in early in the season, when Correa was in his best form, maybe even, and he basically took his spot when he was playing superbly, and Griezmann didn't exactly set the world alight to start with. I mean, it's fair enough that he would have questions about his future and what his role will be, and why Cholo Simeone doesn't seem to trust him with that starting role.
Emmanuel, up next is Cunha, and he was signed in a sort of weird. He was put in a weird position as Atleti were in for a number nine, and he's not really that. He's more of a second striker, but he became a fan favorite in that season. What are your thoughts about Matias Cunha?
Well, I have always said I will wish for Cholo to make Cunha to Atleti what club did with Firmino for Liverpool. That's make Cunha be a striker. I for one thing, he has the quality to be that, to be a striker, and even he has played as a winger before. He has excellent footwork and his link up play, and also can create chances for others. Give him a type of profile to play as a nine for Aliti. My opinion, Aliti going for a striker is not bad, but I would love for the club to go for a striker. Maybe so have someone who can play as a competitor to Cunha, because with Suarez going, we have to replace him. But should have Suarez said, I will not be in favor of Aliti going for another striker. But coming back to Cunha, it's been fantastic. He's a guy who has walked his way from a guy who was just top in the last minute of the game to regular top, and now even towards the end of the season, he started some games that showed his progress over the course of the season, and he was patient and his game time came, and that was great. And I'm looking forward to next season because I expect much for him. And just to come back to Korea, like what Sam said, Korea has been doing so well, and it seems he can't get a starting position in Toulouse. So I wouldn't blame him forcing a move out or leaving the club where he was going to be a regular starter, because it's really quite, there's no logic behind it, because you don't have someone at the best of his game and you have another guy who is not even doing, who is at the other peak of the curve, and you have that other guy starting from. It doesn't make any sense, but Gori has been loyal and he lost Aliti and stayed at Aliti. So let's see what happens over the summer.
Very well. You mentioned the pursuit of a striker. Sam, do you see a number nine as a priority in the summer right now?
Yes and no. I think, to be honest, you have to be honest and say that Atletico's budget isn't that big, and that we have to compromise. And Mateus Cunha could be the man who steps up this season. I think there's enough players, especially if Griezmann stays, in the squad in the attacking department that they don't need to add another one. I mean, we've already got so many, and Alvaro Morata coming back from his loan as well. Remember, I mean, it's likely that he'll be sold, but still, even then, I mean, just so many players in that area. Do we need to invest there more than we need a holding midfielder, more than we need a right back? Probably not. So I think maybe we can make do with Mateus Cunha, but if any of them leave, Angel Correa leaves, for example, that would be a huge blow, if you ask me. If he leaves, then it's essential to go and get a number nine.
Absolutely. And of course, this comes after Luis Suarez leaves the club after his contract expires, and negotiations didn't really succeed to give him a new contract. So, I mean, it was a rough season for Suarez, especially with his physical form. He hasn't really been able to run at all, really. But he was a good finisher, and he did have some bright some bright performances this season. Mainly his fantastic display against Barcelona, where he scored and assisted in the match. So he was given a nice sending off in the Metropolitano in the last home game of the season against Sevilla, and we'll see how Atleti replace him in the summer. This covers all the players in the squad, and we did talk about who the players Atleti should target in the summer, what are the main positions at least. So this only leaves one question left, and I'm going to leave this one for you, Sam, because you're the one close to them. As you go to the Metropolitano regularly, and who is the Atletico Madrid player who would be the most fun to hang out with? Who do you think it is?
The most fun to hang out with? I think, well, there's a lot of candidates within that current squad. If I had to pick one, I think it could even be Yannick Carrasco. I think seeing his... No, actually, I'm going to change my mind. Not Yannick Carrasco. I think he's kind of the party goer and so on. But I think the most fun to hang out with would be Stefan Savic, because he just comes across as absolutely mental. I mean, I feel like with Yannick Carrasco, you could go for a night out and it might feel like you're going for a party with your mates. But with Stefan Savic, I feel like you're going to have a night that you would never forget for the rest of your life. And it would not be anything like any party you've ever been to before. So I think for me, it would have to be Stefan Savage. And even if it's just because if you end up in a fight or something on your night out, then I'd rather have Stefan Savage on my side than coming up against me.
Very well. So I think we understand Jan Oblak's position and why he's so close to him. This brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Sam.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
And of course, Emmanuel, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.
And of course, thank you guys for staying with us. Remember, nunca deixes de creer, and see you in the next episode.